Hey, Jim, I got you there? Jim?
Hello?
Yeah, you got me?
Yeah, I think we got you.
Okay, let me get a level. Go ahead and count the 10 for me, will you please?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, that's good. Now is Jessica going to join you?
Yes, she's right here.
Okay, hi, Jessica. I know you so well because we've been watching your videos. Okay, this is what's going on. Do you know anything about us or who I am or anything?
I think we just did some research when we got contacted.
Yeah, we just kind of found out about you.
Yeah, this is. Well, I just want to give you a beat on what we're doing here. Okay, Evelyn Wood version, real quick. I've been an Arizona activist, libertarian, leave me aloneism, you know, since the late 80s. And I'm 59, my wife is 58, and we raise 4 children, we have 12 grandchildren. And we all are like, you know, leave me aloneist, you know, government, not my way thing, you know, forever. Now, I started doing radio in 03, I'm Terran Radio there in Scottsdale, Phoenix area, and then we went online. Now, I have Freedom's Phoenix, which is our portal that we started in 05 when video hit the internet. That's what we were waiting on. We had the concept for Freedom's Phoenix back in like 96. And I go, when video hits the internet, oh, that'll never happen. You know, that's too much bandwidth. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, whatever. I go, when it hits, we're going to start doing this news site. And we called it Freedom's Phoenix. The logo is from a lot of the logos. It has Lady Liberty's torch with the phoenix come out of it. From the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch will be Freedom's Rebirth, Freedom's Phoenix. That's what that's about. Plus, we were out of Phoenix, so that, you know, helped. Now, the we've done a lot of activism. I was Maricopa County Chair of the Libertarian Party. I've run for office a gazillion times, Congress against McCain in 04, all, you know, for Senate and all that other stuff. But I don't vote. Since 02, I'm like, yeah, you know, I already know better. I ran for Secretary of State. I knew what was going to happen with electronic voting. So we have a bunch of lawsuits, went to the Ninth Circuit, yada, yada, yada. I've been a butthead. Now, in 07, we do a thing called the Freedom Summit every year, and Dr. Ron Paul has spoken at 3 of them. So we knew when he announced that he was running, I'm going, are you guys really doing it? You are? Okay, talk to the hand. I'm not going to have anything to do with the campaign. You're going to do that Republican thing. And our goal was to keep him on the podium for as long as possible for the spontaneous order of leave me aloneism, decentralization of liberty, blah, blah, blah. I'm the one that created the Ron Paul Lovolution logo. I don't know if you ever remember that or where the love was spelled in reverse and so on. So out of revolution. So I created that, and that's how I know a lot of the activist community around the country. Well, now, just a couple of months ago, we decided like in October, got funding in December. In January, we bought MCI passenger bus, and it is all converted, and we put a studio in it. So we have live streaming, radio, and television, and video, and everything from the bus. So we're doing this from the love bus. Now, we went, been working on it in New Hampshire and Maine. We took it to Arizona, finished some stuff, and now we're back in New Hampshire, and we start going cross-country after we do some, you know, upgrades and different things that we're doing now. For a year, from, you know, now until next summer, we, Donna and I, committed to be on the road telling these stories exactly what you're doing, okay? And it's all these different communities that have just, you know, leave me aloneist and we're taking care of business and what pandemic? I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, we got food and water and we're taking care of in peace. So that is our mission. Now, a friend of mine that lives in Tonopah out in the desert by Palo, he's a retired Palo Verde nuclear refueling supervisor. He's been in living off grid and on solar and water and well and everything. There's no lines that go to his property for 15 years. So we've been learning a lot from him, and the cost of solar and everything has plummeted. We have on this bus, 1,280 watts. We got, you know, big inverter, 7-kilowatt diesel backup generator, you know, off the blah, blah, blah. We are self-contained. And this will be like the life pod, you know, when we go to do what you're doing. So we're just, and we're going back today. We're going back for a couple of weeks to our family, visiting family in Arizona, and we're looking for land because we're thinking land is going to get cheap, as it always does in these cycles in Arizona. Well, it's kind of going up what you guys are doing, but, you know, and our silver and crypto goes up. So we're like, we're going to trade this for that. Boom. We're the Bonillas, man. We're just rock and roll and whatnot. Now, what my concern was, when I find out that Cochise County is one of those that you don't need building permits, I'm like, hey, man, that's equal protection clause. Maricopa County, how come they get to be free and I don't? And I go, ah, we'll enslave them too. Oh, okay. So that's what's going on. And this is what my fear was, is that wherever there's any kind of freedom, here comes the man going, we got a permit for you. So that's why I'm interested in what you're doing and your concerns about it in the video that you did. I go, boom, it's time to get you guys on. We can talk all about it because this is happening all over the country. And I know you guys got grandfathered in, but I appreciate you understanding the importance of this. So you can kind of see why I want to talk to you. You feel me?
Yep.
All right. So this is, we're going to start in about 40 seconds. We come in at six after, and it has about 10-minute segments when we go into break. Now we're recording during the break, you know, so if you're giving me out passwords, it went out live stream and recorded and everything, so FYI. Okay, so all this stuff is recorded and off conversation, so you know, it's for the peoples. So when we come back, I'm going to do a quick introduction from your bio and then ask you to go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll get down into it. Okay. And a friend of mine, he has encouraged us to get you. You know, has a bunch of questions. So we'll get to that. All right, here we go.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Make them remember, we are not afraid!
Unafeared here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in the BEA beautiful Love Bus Liberty Tour at Oh, we're going to have us some fun today. I've really been looking forward to this. It sucked that we had to wait all the way to the end of the week. We're just kind of talking about it all week. We wanted to make sure we got to it. We're talking to Jim and Jessica Bonilla. They are the Green Team Project. Green Team Project. You go look that up on YouTube.com. Green Team Dream Project. Facebook, Green Dream Project 1. Okay. Now, this is, you know, it's homesteading. You know, it's steading on the land of the desert, not in the middle of nobody, you know, looks at it, cares, and kind of, you know, okay, you guys want to live out there in the desert pace, and we're not going to bother you until, you know, you, like, you know, get something going on, and then we come back and say hello. You know, the man's going to say hello to you. Now, we've seen this when, I remember when Detroit went to crap, and finally they just rolled up the sidewalks and turned off the street lights and fire, and police just didn't go, and they said, you're on your own. They go, good. And he started being productive and building and planting and refurbing and building, just got the man out of the way. And whoa, wait a minute. You hell no. They come back and they do some ribbon cutting. You're back on the grid again, of course. Well, it's their mindset. You're not allowed to be, you know, successful and productive without them. They, them, those. There are those that just want to be left alone. And there are those that just won't leave them alone. That's how you know who they, them, those are. They won't leave you alone. Now, let me go ahead and, you know, we'll get into the questions that Bob sent in and so on, but let me introduce you to Jim and Jessica. They are at the Green Dream Project. They offer off-grid homesteaders in the high desert of southeastern Arizona. You know, they just want to do a video, and they go step by step all the things that they're doing. They invite you to check out their videos on gardening and homesteading, permaculture, and much more. They're just getting started. You're welcome to join them on their journey and learn with them as they strive to achieve a regenerative lifestyle. For questions and business inquiries, feel free to email them. And I got their snail mail up here, and Donna's going to put it in the archive, the show notes and so on, have all their contact information. So this is Jim and Jessica. Jim, Jessica, welcome to the show. Please introduce yourself. Tell us what you're doing in this first segment. You got like 6 minutes before the break to say whatever you want to make sure gets in. Go.
Well, thank you for having us. Yeah, like you said, we live in southeast Arizona in the high desert. Just beautiful place. Probably best year-round temperatures. We live 100% on solar energy right now. We're no well. We're catching. We're using all of our water. All of our water comes from rainwater. We got a garden out here, growing things. We're about to start building our own house out of earth bags. We just completed a giant project where we built our own cistern out of earth bags for rainwater harvesting. We're going to be able to store nearly 14,000 gallons in there.
14,000 gallons, which will last. I mean, what's your usage? I remember in some of your videos, you're going, you have some water tanks. You have you know, the gutter system from your roof of your pole barn and so on, but you're going, you know, water's down to here. I mean, you know, we need some rain. I mean, what's your usage?
Right now, I'd say we'd probably be using about 20 gallons a day, just for the both of us, for our living needs and stuff like that, for our dog. We're using a little bit more water right now because we're kind of building some projects that's taking a bunch of water. But we still have quite a bit of water in our poly tanks. So we're definitely getting by, and we're definitely managing with it.
Okay, that's one thing, you know, that we've noticed. If you have any land in the desert, what you realize is how much water there is. When it rains, I mean, damn, I wish I could collect all that water, because damn, you know. So this is to the point you inspired Bob, that, you know, been 15 years out in the desert, but he has a well. So he's got, but you know, it uses power, and it's just like a pain. He's got all this water, and he's going, he got a rain gauge. You go, look at my rain gauge. I can see and calculate, and how he'd been inspired by, you know, the Green Project. So, Green Dream Project. So I'm going, what kind of, describe for us how much water you can accumulate in one rainfall, and how long, and how much rain, and what were you looking at over the year? How long you got to go? Because sometimes it'll go months between, you know, rainstorms in Arizona. So I'm wondering how you're calculating that.
Yeah, it's I believe the calculation is for every square foot of catchment, you get 0.623 gallons for every inch of rain. So for our 2,200 square foot roof that we have over here, with 1 inch of rain, we can catch about 1,300 gallons of water.
Damn. You know, sometimes you have a downpour, you get a bunch of inches. So yeah. Have you gotten to the point yet? And we're just starting to go into the monsoon. Have you started getting some, we're full?
it's could be like that. We're in the midst of like changing everything around over here, but we definitely could have started filling up our poly tanks again with the little rains we have gotten so far.
Okay, now there's one thing I wanted to get in. Bob said, he goes, you seem to have a bunch of wind down there. I used to get pissed at the wind too when I was doing outside work. Then he put up a wind turbine. I still curse the wind, but I just tell myself it's a good day to do laundry. You know, have you looked at putting up a wind turbine? Now, it doesn't generate a lot of power, but it does generate power at night when it's windy. So when it's windy out there, it's just a pain in the butt. Man, that turbine's a spinning. You know, so it's more a psychological thing than a practical thing. But wind turbine, has that crossed your radar?
It, for me, it has not at this point. Not that it's something we wouldn't do down in the future, but we've already invested in solar, and that's been more than enough for our needs currently.
And I think we kind of compared, I mean, the cost comparison is similar between solar and setting up a wind turbine. I think turbines are actually a little more efficient in converting that energy, maybe 60% versus solar panels, which might only get 20%.
But you got a lot of more regular sun than you do wind down there. But it does get windy, doesn't it?
We do get a lot of wind here, but we get more sun than wind. You know, so far the sun has risen every day.
Right.
And even on cloudy days, we can produce some energy. So we're just not producing energy at night, but we use very, very little energy at night.
You know, he had a really simple, it was kind of a, you know, hobby project doing it. And it's pretty low maintenance. It's not that big a deal. And you're right. You put the money in the solar, been better. It's just a psychological thing. It's just like, you know, and that's covered, you know. But, yeah, it's not something to recommend other than, you know, just so you don't curse the wind as much. Having the turbine has made me very conscious of the wind, direction, season. I use the wind for passive evap cooling part of the year by letting the wind blow through the house through wet cooler pads with no fan running. It's very energy efficient. Have you considered the prevailing winds in the construction and orientation of your house build? Oh, we're going into break. Going into break. See, dang it. All right, you guys go to the live stream. We're going to yak it, you know, in the break, you know, a little bit. We'll get all the good for the live show. But you guys go to the stream, freemsphoenix.com or DLive or Float or, you know, wherever all the streams are. So we'll be right back with Jim and Jessica Bonilla, the Green Dream Project. Go check it out. You'll learn something.
From the first letter of Dr. Idris Barber, I've healed many landlubbers, but could have healed countless more if they were willing to break the law to preserve themselves. The Crown required that I obey leeching privateers who didn't share my oath to do no harm. I was forbidden from discussing the treatments I knew patients needed. The Crown claims to protect landlubbers from bankrupting medical expenses, but only seduces them into begging for relief, while privateers monopolize the management of chronic illness. This royal alliance has constructed a medical hegemony that denies science, discredits alternative remedies, and mandates unwanted treatments, while callously ignoring the victims dying on waiting lists. They have produced a society increasingly addicted, impoverished, diseased, and suicidal. My conscientious objections and medical ambitions required not only seeing this cage, but leaving it. That's why I raised my black banner. Among pirates, the Crown's tantrums are irrelevant. You own your body without qualification. Open ocean medicine enables healers and customers to build a relationship of mutual consent. Prices decrease, quality increases, and physicians become as accessible as barbers. Customers determine their own medical care, whether that's experimental treatments, prohibited plants, controversial procedures, bootleg pharmaceuticals, or even the right to die. Any system of command and control is rejected. In time, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, genetic engineering, and cybernetic prosthetics could take the human condition beyond our imagination. Medical augmentation could eliminate aging, enhance intelligence, and erase our fundamental physical limitations. With the Crown in our wake and the individual at the helm, we are free to pursue an unfettered life. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Okay, what I wanted to do is make sure we get through a couple of these questions real fast, and we'll do them in the break now because I want to get to the political aspect of this thing or anything that you want to emphasize. Let's see. We talked about the orientation of your house. We want to get to that when we come back. Your water use, did you choose not to have a well due to personal choice and wanted to see if you can live with water harvesting, or was it finance, or is there no water under your land? So get ready to answer that real quick. Is water harvesting allowed? Some places in the West, it's not allowed, or you are not, or you're just doing it not asking permission. That's another thing that we run into problems in northern Arizona. No, the rain belongs to the cattle kind of crap, you know. aquaponics. It's counterintuitive, but it uses way less water than soil gardening. Take a while to perfect, but I've had pretty good luck with it. My son wanted to be a YouTuber phenom, so we had a little channel. Kind of cheesy, but some good info. If you're interested, Saddle Mountain Aquaponics. Now, we kind of started the aquaponic thing in Phoenix and made a bit. We had a two-acre horse lot up in Arrowhead area of Phoenix. I don't know if you're familiar with Phoenix, the Sunburst Farms there, and we had, you know, like 60 chickens and aquaponics and turkeys and goats at one time, and, you know, our workshop, and we have a stamp press that makes geodesic domes out of conduit in half inch, three quarter, and inch. Now, I, because of what you're doing, if you'll make use of it, I will give you a dome for you to ferro cement it, because that's what we were going to do with aircrete, you know, with some graphene polymer put in. You know, there's a whole, we're right in line with you, man. When we come, we're going to grow up, you know, to be Jim and Jessica, all right? So we're all in on this. And so when we come back here right now, I'm going to finish these questions and we'll get into the politics. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're back with Jim and Jessica Bonilla, Green Dream Project. Okay, here's some of the questions. Bob wants to know, are you doing the orientation of your home to take advantage of wind? You know, I'm sure for solar, but the wind, is that, you know, they're, you know, away. Are you doing big giant earth to cool tubes or airflow with, you know, saturated pads of, you know, I have no idea. Tell us all about your house orientation.
Yeah, you definitely want to take into consideration the wind, prevailing winds, sun angles, the way the rain falls around the area. But it's definitely something that we've taken into consideration. We'll be using, we'll be building with earth. So, and
we're going partially underground. So we're taking advantage of that constant earth temperature, which will help regulate that, the temperature.
Are you going to build up the soil, or is there a mound there? It's pretty flat. Is there a mound, or are you just going to dig down? How are you going to do that?
Yeah, we're digging down for part of the structure, and it's, the walls are going to be very thick too. As far as wind goes, we're thinking of using what's called a wind scoop, which is basically a chimney with the opening pointed in the direction of the prevailing winds, and that brings in that airflow into the house.
Oh, like a big roof vane funnel.
Yeah,
you know, that's one thing a lot of people don't know, because the humidity is so low in Arizona, evaporative cooling is a thing, you know, except during the monsoon. But the they have like rest stops and so on. There's a lot of places that they have these high towers. It'll go up like three stories, and they just mist air or water in that chimney, and it just sucks the air down, and it has this cooling breeze that goes through. If you kind of had a prevailing wind thing, or are you going to add water mist to it? Is that a thing?
Yeah, you can put the evaporative mats at the opening at the bottom, or even a, like a fountain, something that provides that moisture to evaporate.
Yeah, so you have like a chimney with a fountain up in it and all that water. That's how in the Middle East, you know, these desert communities, that's how they cooled themselves. You know, you're going ancient technology here. Have you learned a lot of things from history or architecture of old? Does that enter into what you're doing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of these techniques that we're doing are just like, you know, old techniques and things from native cultures that can absolutely bring into this area to live a lot more efficiently.
Okay, here's some of the other, let's see, water harvesting, is that allowed? In Arizona, some places, they had, it can only come off of your roof of your dwelling, or in Colorado, they go, oh, we're so magnanimous now, we're going to allow you to roof harvest a barrel full. Oh, we'll give you two barrels, 110 gallons or so, that you can, because we're so, you know, the king has granted you $110 of water that falls on your land. And I'm like, man, you just want to backhand somebody. So I'm just, you know, do you even know the regulation? Do you care? I mean, what's the deal down there?
Yeah, it's absolutely allowed in Arizona. In fact, a lot of times it's even encouraged. And there are people working out here to promote water harvesting and just show people the benefits. Like Tucson's gotten a lot more lenient with water harvesting and the practices they do over there.
Yeah, Tucson, there's been people, they even do news segments on it, but in Coconino County and northern part, yeah, they frown on that. It belongs to the cattle. You know, there's some, I don't know how, that's something we got to check on. Certainly, you know, we can get all activist on it. Let's see. Aquaponics, you know, gardening. What's your plan?
We did have a small aquaponic system before we moved out here when we were still living in the city, and we really enjoyed that. So that's definitely in our plans for the future, using aquaponics, a really efficient water use. And, you know, not only are you getting plants, but you get fish out of the system.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. You know, Bob, he perfected it. He built a greenhouse that kind of man. We just had it out in the open. We called it the Aqua Dome. We had these two domes that butted together, and it was very attractive. But it takes more maintenance than, you know, people realize. I mean, you got to pay attention to it. And I just want to plug and play, man. I just want food to come out, you know. But you know, it is a lot less weeding and a bunch of other problems, and it's waist high, and it's very convenient, and it does work, and you get fish. But that's what supermarkets are for. But damn it, now there's not like supermarkets. So how are you feeding yourself? Are you getting a lot of? Are you just going to the supermarket? And we're working on building the infrastructure. We'll worry about that later.
Yeah, right now it's a lot of infrastructure. We got to get this house. We're trying to get it built ASAP. So the gardening has kind of taken a back seat for this season. So the nearest store is probably about a half hour away. But we are looking, once we get the house built, we're going to be focusing a lot more on getting to something growing out here.
Where did you live? What city did you live in? Why did you? Tell me the origin story of you guys even doing this.
Yeah, so we were in Central Arizona. Closer to Phoenix, and we were at a point in our lives where we just felt like we needed to make a big change. You know, we were over our heads in debt. We were not feeling well physically. Jim had a health scare, and I was suffering from depression and anxiety, and you know, we found out about permaculture and homesteading, and we decided we're going to take this leap and totally change the way we were living. And we haven't looked back since.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long has this been?
We've been living out here now full-time for, 2 years, I think?
Yeah, about 2 years.
I see pictures of some cattle there. Are those yours?
No, it's all free range out here, so when we did not have everything fenced in, having cattle on the property was kind of a regular thing.
Yeah, fertilizer. Thanks. Yeah, it's all good. Now, what was the first thing that you did? The pole barn? I mean, you go out there with the trailer and, all right, it's, you know, where's the shovel? I mean, and I did see a backhoe there, but I don't really see a lot of heavy equipment usage that you do. Do you have a backhoe? You rent it when you need it? How does that work?
No, we needed some heavy-duty excavation for the water tank and the house build, so we had someone come out here. The price was absolutely reasonable for the work he did. So, like, we'll probably just have some come out if we really need some heavy-duty stuff.
But we don't own any heavy machinery out here. We have limited finances, so a lot of this is just our own physical labor.
I know. And you know, I tell you, this earth bag thing, I call that a lot of labor. I'm like, damn, you know, it's, you know, I'm thinking, you know, when we were thinking of doing stuff like on the geodesic domes, we were thinking of doing earth bag, the tubes, and you just kind of wrap it around, but you need a machine to, you know, to fill it, you know, a backhoe, a hopper, a vibrator, something. You know, we're going to come up with, you know, there's a lot of things we might even be able to help. You know, if they want some help, do they want help? We're going to find out. You want to go help? We're going to have party. Woohoo! We're going to get some. And right, we come right back, we're going to get right to the politics of this thing, because the man does not like it. you're out there being all free and stuff. You know, that's, you know, here comes the anxiety again. I'll be right back. Yeah, see, that's, you know, this is, it just pisses me off. Whenever people start being productive and they get out and they're doing, you know, yeah, screw them, man. I am just so, all right, this is the thing. Are you familiar with EMT geodesic domes? Does that ring a bell with you at all?
Yeah, definitely know about geodesic domes.
Now, what it is the EMT conduit. You know, like you put electrical in, you can get it in half inch, three quarter an inch. We created, there's a stamp press, and you get a die in there, and you cut them to certain lengths. It just has like a chop saw that we have a ruler on, and we cut them to lengths, all the pieces. Then it goes in, and it stamps it flat and punches a hole in it. And when you do that and you assemble it with bolts, all of a sudden you got this rock hard geodesic dome. Now it's covering it. When you're doing the ferro cement, we're going, yeah, we could do that and get a shotcrete gun, you know, like a stucco spray and got, you know, and it puts it on. Now they troweled it, and a friend of ours has one of these domes up in northern Arizona, and he's got a bunch of domes, but the one that he covered in concrete was very familiar with how you were trowel by trowel doing on top of your tank. And I'm going, that sucks, man. You know, you need like a sprayer, you know, you get that. That's what I'm doing, because I hell no, you know. So we start thinking, we were dealing with papercrete back in the 90s we were playing with. Then it gets into aircrete. Then they're adding graphene to it. And oh my goodness, it's like, you know, freaking the hardest, most stable, no cracking, whatever the hell. So we're playing with this, and we want to, I am willing to give you one of our domes. If you'll make use of it, you know, does that interest you at all?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, now they come in 16, 24, two, cap, you know, what would you think, you know, because that's the first thing I'm doing. We go, I'm building a big, man, I got a shop, because damn it, you know. And I need someone like you that is willing, you know, to make use of it, or you can cover it in the earth, or just, you know, chicken wire. Or there was a stuff, it's called spider. It's a synthetic, like a nylon or something, screen that they use for stucco. You know, instead of using that screeding stucco expanded aluminum stuff that they, or steel or whatever it is, they put on a cinder block wall. They have, it's kind of flexible, and they put it up, and it's a nylon or something. And I'm going, oh, that's the stuff there. You wrap the dome around with that, boom. You got a little shotcreter and so on. This is what I'm willing to do. We're coming back to Arizona for a couple of weeks. I would be willing, you know, I'll get, you know, the dome set, because we got it up in northern Arizona in Ash Fork, where we let some friends use it up there to build their little city or whatever. But I can get, as part of the deal, I get you one of these domes. I'll get it down to you within the next couple of weeks, and with some instructions and everything, you know, peace out. If you'll do this, I may even be willing. And, you know, but it's mine. I want the sprayer. You perfect it, and then, you know, it's mine now. You know, so we'll help you with this. Maybe even labor if you want it, to get down to demonstrate the capabilities of this, to go right in with what you're doing. And it could be a workshop or a something, whatever. I don't care. But your ingenuity and your experience in doing this is exactly what we're looking for, and I want to help, because it's really all about me. It's to help me, but I'll help you help me. Okay, say yes, and it's done, man. That's all you got to do. Well, you guys think about it. Here we come.
Patreon.lrn.fm.
Yeah, sure,
that's Patreon.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And we're talking to Jim and Jessica Bonilla, the Green Project. The Green Dream Project. Now, we've made this offer to people before and so on, but I'll get to it and kind of sort it in someday, and some people do a little bit and everything. I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of support out here to learn, for us to, you know, there's new technologies and new techniques and new, and we want to, because Donna and I are going to be doing this a year from now. Well, if we learn stuff and they demonstrate it and do the, you know, educational, you know, YouTube video of how they did it. And the only thing waiting on is they're like, hey, man, this ain't free. You know, if we subsidize it a little bit and kind of, I don't even need a sponsorship. No, I don't even care about that. I want the information. If they can do this and some of the supplies that we have and go down, if they need some help and labor, we'll make a thing out of it. I will make a thing out of it because this is exactly the kind of information that we need. In fact, they're inspiring. Bob is doing, hell, he's got a well and he's wanting to put a cistern in. You know, so I'm going, all right, all right, all right. But what I want to get into now is the politics. You know, the government's coming in and explain it to you. Now, tell me what the rules are for you doing your homestead as you're grandfathered in now, but what they're trying to do. But tell me, you know, what attracted you to go down to Cochise County, man. Ain't nothing there, which is the reason why they don't care, or until now, until people start being successful. But it's kind of like Taos, New Mexico, where you have all these earthship kind of thing. Well, it's kind of the same terrain down there. What's your elevation? How hot is it in the summer?
The elevation is, what is it,
4,300
feet.
Oh, so you're up higher. Yeah, so you're not that. You know, so how hot is it in the blazing July summer up?
The hottest it usually gets is around 105.
Oh, that's awesome. That's not hot. That's freaking, you know, it's a hundred. It doesn't even start, you know, worrying about wearing a hat until 107. So I'm going, okay, so is the humidity still low there?
Yeah, except it's still very low. It's just when, you know, monsoon seasons, obviously.
Yeah.
Then you need a lot more humidity.
So that's an attractive place. So what drew you there? Was it the, you can? You know, they say, you know, come here and build and we're not going to bother you? Or you just happen to like the terrain? How'd you find it?
Well, the opt-out, obviously, was a huge draw for us. The ability to kind of build how we want to build. And the climate is obviously was another big deal for us. I think it was just a culmination of a couple of those things.
Yeah, and we're really interested in alternative building, so the opt out was huge for us.
Yeah, I've been interested in this earth bag thing too, and then there's you know, rammed earth forming. We're playing with that, and we do a lot of different things, you know. And if you're willing to do the labor and the work. And you guys, you know, are you know, and I love your enthusiasm on your channel and everything. So I want to help. I mean, if you'll let me, I don't need anything in return other than the knowledge. That's what you're saving me so much effort and experimentation. If we give you the supplies and stuff to do it, and you do it, crap, man, that's worth us supplying for you to do it. So I'm exploiting the crap out of your labor. So don't think I'm not getting something out of it, you know. So if you're willing to, you say yes, I'm on it. All you got to do is say yes, say yes.
Yes.
Boom! Boom! And the audience knows, too, that this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Do you need labor?
Oh, I don't know. I think we're probably pretty good. We're usually pretty good at handling.
So you'd rather just have you don't need a bunch of people you don't know up there, you know, being a pain in the butt. You're kind of trying to get away from that, I imagine. Now, why did you do, you know, the gutters with the concrete? You know, you thought you needed to do that. Do you think that was a good idea? What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, that was kind of more my idea, and like I wasn't really happy with the aluminum gutters because they were leaking, and I needed to change up the system for the tanks anyway. I think I kind of had ferro cement on my brain because that's how we did our cistern roof. Is it a good idea? I don't know.
It's an experiment, right?
It's kind of an experiment. And we're talking about whether we want to fully see this through or change it up, because I am thinking about maybe doing this with PVC. I think PVC might make this system a whole lot more efficient.
Yeah. Well, what about shotcreting or air compressor or aircrete or paper, you know, these other mechanisms for using cement?
Yeah, those are possibilities. I still have to look into more into aircrete. It seems like it's becoming a lot more popular.
Aircrete with graphene. I've been waiting on that. I have a lab in my barn to where I grew carbon nanotubes in a tube furnace to make nickel iron high density batteries, just to prove I could. And I go, boom, done. Yep, here we go. It's going to be carbon. Well, in the process, you know, there's way, you know, we learned a lot about, you know, carbon nanotubes and graphene, and it's going to be really, you're going to have cardboard graphene, you know, spaceship plating that, you know, 4x8 sheets that'll last forever. I mean, kind of thing. I mean, here it comes. But this is, you can use a lot of these techniques. We're going to help. You know, you can do all the labor and so on. We'll come down, drop it off, and say, peace, here's the instruction, not bother you. But I'm just telling you, you know, we want to help. You're in the Liberty community in Arizona. They've been paying attention to what you're doing. And the biggest thing we're paying attention to is the man. So, you know, what was the conditions that you went in there and then how they're trying to change it?
Yeah, well, right now we have the opt-out, which...
opt-out. What does that mean? I got to go opt-out of what?
So if any first-time owner-builder can opt out of inspections as you're building. It doesn't, you don't opt out of the permit process. You still need permits for just about everything you build. But for your first-time house, and I think 5 ancillary structures, you can get this permit, which will, you don't need any of the inspections. So they just come out and they inspect that you're free from any... setbacks, that you're far enough away from any washes, and that you're building where you say you're going to build.
So you're still getting a permit to not get a permit.
Right. And then so once they verify where you're built, then you're free from any of those inspections that, you know, for electrical, plumbing, all that.
It really frees up what you can do, and it brings down the costs of, you know, designing and building a home.
Well, how much is this? Well, how much is the permit to not get a permit?
It was very cheap. I think it was. Remember how much it was?
Was it under 100?
I think it might have been about 100.
Oh, but they got you to sign something. you got to sign something. I mean, how complicated is the paragraph of that? Did you read it?
It wasn't a very complicated process.
No, it wasn't.
And the county, actually, the people that work for the county are very helpful in getting you what you need to do.
Yeah, right up until they're not, and somebody explains it to them to explain it to you. So how's that going? What's happening?
Well, I mean, there are people, and I'm sure it's probably led by the general contractors. There are people that want to see this opt-out go away because there are a lot of people losing money. If people are building their own homes and stuff like that, then they're not going to contractors. These contractors are making the money.
They're seeing more people wanting to move out here and live this kind of life, and I think they're a little scared of that.
Hell yeah, they are. That's why they have all this. Arizona is developers. It used to be car dealerships and real estate. Now the car dealerships is, you know, whatever. But it's developers, real estate. Arizona is all about the real estate. The banking, you know, was built on the real estate. Everybody moving there back in the 60s and 70s. The mob came in and, you know, we're going to be in the contractors. We got the contract and the trucks of and Teamsters and whatever the hell. You know, and the influence in Arizona has been heavily influenced by the building community. And, you know, it's Del Webb, John F. Long, that's what drives a bunch of this stuff to the point that there needs to be blowback. And when you guys, you know, and there has been in Ash Fork, we had a bunch in Yavapai County, there was some pushback and they backed off, whoa, but they didn't do away with the permit. It was just the enforcement. All right, we agree that we're just going to let you do whatever you're going to do and we won't be all ornery about it, and you just kind of, you know, take our names and campaign off the internet and we'll leave you alone. But that's still, they're hanging the sword over your head. But we need to get rid of the sword. Well, we're going to hit, because here it comes. There is no way that they're going to allow you to be, because this is the one thing that we emphasize on the show, you know, along, you know, a lot of our politics stuff we do. But, you know, my main thing is I go, you just need a good nest for your spouse. If you got, you know, a nice bed and it's not too hot, not too cold, you're not hungry, you're not thirsty, you know, you got a roof over your head, you know, you're growing your food, I mean, you're done. You know, peace. I'm, you know, I wish to smoke weed, you know, every evening on my porch looking at the sunset to bite me. You know, what now are you going to do? Well, that doesn't feed into their interest, into their loans, mortgages, and, you know, this machine that they have to make their buddies money that keep them in office to tell you they need more of your money. So this is chain technology. That's why we have a site called piratswithoutborders.com. If you go to piratswithoutborders.com, you'll see, you know, the letters of Captain Mark and Reprisal, and they give the philosophy, and it addresses a lot of this stuff. But at the top, you'll see we have communication, shelter, food and water, transportation, energy, all these different categories, like eight categories, that education, automation, all kinds of stuff that are all about decentralization down to the individual. If you have, because we highlight on Freedom's Phoenix the technologies every day, we put a bunch of technologies up there that give this kind of power to you. That's why if you went under shelter, boom, here's all these different building techniques. They'll find you there. You know, we're just going, look, this is possible now. And people like you actually going out and doing it and sharing it with people, that's why we want to help. You know, because freaking it just, you know, free the planet, man, through the Green Dream Project. You think I'm kidding? This is it. This is what we looking for, people just like you. You going to help? You going to help us help you? Huh? Are you? Are you? All right. We'll be back in less than 2 minutes. And what do you want to make sure we go over? Now, this Cochise County resolution thing and opt out and so on, is there some specific action you're asking people to do?
Well, there was a petition going around, and people could still sign that. But I know they are talking about, you know, they're talking about getting rid of it.
What do you mean? Get rid of what?
Getting rid of the opt out there. County Board of Supervisors is looking to replace it somehow with something.
Yeah, no, so we need to replace some county supervisors. There needs to be a campaign. You know, this is, you make it a, see, I don't vote because I know better, but I run for office a lot, you know, because it's general public opinion. It's just people being informed and understood and how America this is. On our Love Bus tour, there's two main focuses that we have. It's a property right thing. Do I own myself? Am I going to be forced by notions and potions and a syringe from the crown into my flesh? And that never turns out well. They're going to be mandating all kinds of shots and vaccine. I go, hell no. I go, that never turns out well. The other thing is do I own my property? You know, if it pleases the crown, can I occupy my own land? I can have a tent in front of City Hall, but I put that on my own land in the desert. I go to jail for not having an occupancy permit by the man. I mean, when the hell did that happen in America? So that's why this kind of stuff is so important to me, because I understand this is a foundational justification for any government. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, you know, protect property rights, kind of, you know, they're not doing that. And then they're locking you into your house. I mean, going, what the hell is going on here? So that's why we're going to emphasize this so much, and we're your new best friends. Here we go.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, which one are you? Well, I'll tell you, you know, we got a couple down in Cochise County, southeastern part of Arizona, Jim and Jessica Bonilla, that they just want to be left alone. I was, you know, hey, we have an opportunity to shed, you know, we go out and be healthy and work and manual labor and kind of, you know, and feel better and eat right. And, you know, oh my God, rainwater probably doesn't have too much fluoride in it, you know, so I'm going, you know, well, let's do that. That'd be cool. You know, I want to help. I want the audience to be able to help. We're going to, you know, you know, one of the problems is that you help, you think that, well, we get, and can I get it? No, this is my land. You drop all your stuff up at the property line. Get the hell out. Okay, what do you think we moved out here for? I don't need none of your ne'er-do-well. Come over here. We're trying to inspire other people to do it on their own freaking land. We don't need a hippie commune of, you know, whatever, to come here and give us a hassle or bother us. We understand that. That's how we think. But what is our get out of this is the knowledge. And you're sharing, what have you, one thing that you've learned in this process, you think the biggest thing you want to share with people?
Honestly, I think, you know, the whole reason that we're living this lifestyle is that we can have certain personal freedoms. And I think one of the biggest threats to personal freedoms is fear. And that's one way that people, entities with power or who want power over you, they use fear to control people. It's really a form of mind control. And so I want to encourage people, don't give in to fear, because giving into fear gives away your power. your control over your own life. So what we need to do is come together, educate ourselves, do what we can do for ourselves and to support each other.
You know, the fear, how does it penetrate out there? Do you have internet? I guess you're posting up. How do you do internet or communication or television? I mean, do you care? I mean, are you run the Starbucks to post your videos? How's that work?
The only type of internet service we can get out here is the Verizon cell service. So everything just comes off of our phones.
Do you get 4G or something? Or
Yeah.
Verizon's been, you know, on the love bus. We have two SIM cards for AT&T, one Verizon, Wi-Fi, you know, through a Raspberry Pi that we operate, and of course Ethernet when we need it. So that's what I've been saying: communication, energy, water. These are the three things you want to get. You want me to move out of my studio and my comfort of my home? I just need internet connection. You know, I need some communication. I need energy. Man, we're doing the solar thing. I'm going to get some. And then water. And you got the water. And so the well is not an option because what? Expense or is it just too deep? What?
Yeah, well, a possibility. But unfortunately, you're probably going to have to go 400 to 600 feet deep here in order to hit water. So expense is definitely a factor in there. And even if you do start drilling, there's no guarantee that you're going to hit water. So for us, I think it was a better, wiser expenditure just to try and go off with rainwater.
Yeah, it seems, you know, more that I remember there was a news story they did on a family in Tucson that collected their rainwater and just off their roof, and they had enough to last them all year and do a yard, and I'm going, wow, really? And you start doing the calculation, you're going, damn, how come we're not doing that? You know, contractors. You know, it's just they're insidious. So the special interest and the board of supervisors and their campaigns, they're put in there to do this kind of freedom taking stuff. You know, who's the ringleader? Is there an industry? Is there a lobbyist? You got deep enough to find out what's up?
There is a Facebook group that they're kind of watching out over the county board of supervisors. There are a bunch of supporters on the board, but there are actively people trying to get that removed or changed or whatnot.
This is, I'm telling you, I've been doing this 30 years, and I don't trust the voting process. It all comes down to general public opinion. And for America, absolutely. You know, it's out in the lone freaking, you can't even see. How close is your closest dwelling of somebody else living?
I'd say probably about a half mile.
You know what? Screw them. What they, you know, they can hear your, you know, boom, 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 rave music. I mean, you know, screw this. How large is your lot?
We got 40 acres out here.
Damn. You mind me asking how much that was?
It was $1,500.
$15,000.
That almost the same. All right, 15,000 for 40 acres. Now, see, in Arizona, there's a lot of places. That's why they have the no permit. Hey, come over here and buy the land and get on the tax rolls of a what? That's another thing. How's your property taxes and so on?
Property taxes are pretty low right now.
Yeah, this week. You know, how are they going to assess increase in value? Is it square footage of roof or something? I mean, what are they doing?
You see, that's the thing. Once you start adding more structures and stuff like that, you know, they'll come out and reassess it, so that could definitely change.
Oh man, see, they lure you in. They put little corns of kernel, and all of a sudden, boom, the chute gets closed. It's a philosophical battle, and that's what we've been engaged in for a long time, for exactly the freedom to do what you're doing. And I'd like to, you know, the thing is, though, is that if you bring attention to you a little bit, then you come to the attention. That's like the Chinese curse. May you, you know, come to the attention of important people, you know. And so I'm looking for we'll talk, you know, during the break when in a couple of minutes we'll hit the end. We'll set up some times and so on. But are you feeling overwhelmed at all? I mean, this is a big project. You know, just stacking all. How the hell did you get all those rocks in there to make the casing around the water tank? Is that one by one hand?
Yeah, pretty much. I collected all the rocks, all the concrete that we put in there, and it was all done by hand.
Holy crap! Do you guys plan on having children, or is that in the future?
Nothing definite. Probably one way or the other. We're not opposed to it, but we've been working so hard out here.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, you know, I kids and grandkids, get your butt over here. I'll show you how to do it. But the I'm really inspired by what you. That's one of the reasons we're doing this trip, is to go and find people like you here in New Hampshire. The little farm that we're staying at now, we're doing, you know, a bunch of different work and trading out and helping on the bus stuff. They're good friends, but February hit, boom, hundreds of hogs. Got dozens of cows. They started planting. They got, you know, they didn't even pandemic. What the hell is that, man? We're, you know, we're taking care of business, you know, and they are, you know, they go, you know, we can't get slaughter dates for a year, year and a half. Are you kidding me? Fine. We got a shipping container. We'll have our own butchering and our 40-foot refrigerated, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm telling you, I love Americans. America, you know, going to kick some ass, you know, but then there's always they, them, those. And was that were you ever political or philosophically involved, or it was just a personal decision?
Just personal for us.
Did you realize that, were you stepping into, you know, what started the YouTube channel? How did that come about?
It really, like, we wanted to do our own thing out here, but we realized that it could be a big benefit to people just to kind of show what we're doing out here. Maybe people can learn how to do things on their own. Maybe they learn how not to do things, but it's just sharing our story and plus documenting everything we're doing.
Yeah.
For ourselves.
They demonetize you for being too free?
Luckily, no.
No. So do you get some revenue from that? Is that doing well?
You can get revenue from YouTube. We're getting a little bit, but it all depends on like how many views your videos get.
Well, you're going to get more now, and we can help, you know, amp that up. But I got to warn you, I always warn a lot of people that we promote in this thing. When you get that kind of, you come to the attention of the man, you know, you're at the attention of the man. But if you're on YouTube doing this, I guess you come to the attention of the man anyway. They need to know that you got support and friends. Support and friends. You've been a big inspiration to a lot of people. We've made sure of that. And I just want to make sure that. And it's our audience. A lot of them, they say, well, you know, what about these guys? You know, and when it hit that they were wanting to do away with the opt-out, that's what brought it on. We've been all over the country, you know, farmers being forced by Oregon to spray glyphosate on their organic farm. Boom, we're there. And the supervisors, they go, you cheated. You used the internet. So I'm like, yeah, we're going to cheat just a little bit. But then they try and control that too. And then we got other mechanisms. Go check it out. Green Dream Project. Jim and Jess. I think this is awesome. Thank you. Okay, that was awesome. Great. I'm glad that we did that. You know, is there anything else you want to make sure you get in the archive? We've promoted your channel. We talked about what you're doing. I got the audience all worked up. We're going to do some help. I want to get one of the domes to you. We can even help you put it up, or you can do it yourself. It's a pain in the butt, but, you know, I mean, you can do it in like half a day. I mean, it's not that big a deal. And it's just, a rector set. But the... how do you want to do that? You know, give us a, we can, Donna, send them an email with all our contact information and so on, and our schedule when we're going to be in Arizona. Oh, it's called the Jackalope Freedom Festival. We camp in the forest the first weekend of August, which is up in the mountains on the rim north of Payson. This is our 8th year going up there. It's not organized. There's nobody in charge. It's just out in the forest, and, you know, dozens or hundreds of people go up there. So send them the Jackalope Freedom Festival information. You know, maybe they'd be interested to go visit with some of the guys. And because of that, Bob is out there camping, putting up tarps and rain barrels and everything, and we're going to be doing some water harvesting there because there's no facilities out there. So we're going to do that, you know, inspired by you. Well, we've kind of been thinking about it for a while, but we're doing that out camping. Ha, 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 ha. So did you know you had this kind of support out there? Huh?
I did.
No, that's amazing.
No, and you pinged all the right things. We're just doing it. We're going out here, be left alone, out in the lone freaking, you know, sphincter of hell in the middle of... Well, it's not that bad, because if you're at 4,000-something, you know, you're not getting that 120-degree crap. You know, that's so that's often awesome. But it does get cold in the winter. I mean, you know, how when's the cold time?
Yeah, you get, during January, February, I mean, you could get temperatures down into the teens. It'll get freezing.
Yeah, no, do you get any snow at all?
Sometimes
it's rare.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first winter we were out here, I think we had 6 to 8 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Do you have any community kind of built up there doing the same kind of stuff? You got friends that live out on the land?
There's a lot more. There's people out here now doing this exact same kind of thing, and there's more people moving out here all the time.
I know. That's why the rural landing, you know, land is kind of not going down like I hoped. I'm like, damn it. You damn it. You know, yeah. People like you, damn it. You're costing me money, man. You know, this is what we're going to do. Donna's sending you some information. We're going to be down there, and it'll be like a trek. And even if we physically ourselves can't make it down there, we'll make sure you get the stuff. But we're going to be – what I'm chasing is 76-degree nighttime I get the sleep weather in this bus. So we'll be on Northern America. And, of course, as we get into the colder months, we're going more south. And then, you know, it's like Florida and Arizona, you know, during the winter. But the and we got family there. You know, that's – we're going to be in Arizona. You know, that's just the way it is. And it's probably going to be Maricopa County. And but we're going to be doing a lot of the similar stuff that you are, and we're paying attention to a lot of places. But there's a lot of other techniques, and this earth bag thing is a thing, but man, you need a crew. Holy crap, might as well be pounding tires, man. I mean, damn, you know, which, you know, some of the guys do, and I'm going, this is like, you know, manual labor big time. Now the bags, they're pretty cheap. I mean, each one of those bags with your own dirt wind up costing you what, 20 cents or something?
Yeah, it's about for all the bags that we got, misprinted bags, it's about 20 to 25 cents.
You know, that's still a lot. You know, what about the spiral, you know, the big, giant, long bags, you know, filling those and kind of coiling them? Has that been an option?
That's always an option, but usually those are going to be a little bit more expensive because there's only, like, maybe a couple places that you can get them from. Plus, I mean, I think they make them specifically for building, so it's going to be a little pricier.
You know, one of the things is I'm like, hell no, there got to be something else, you know, like a hopper that you got a backhoe bucket that you're dumping into, and a valve and a shaker fill and the lever or something. You know, I'm just like, this coffee can filling up thing, Jessica, that's got to suck.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
Which means it sucks. And the moisture you got to kind of get right, too. That's what you're talking about. You have to use a lot of water, right?
Well, earth bag is pretty forgiving. It's because they go into bags. Yeah, you have a lot more leeway with some moisture content.
A lot less than some of the other earthen building techniques. So that's one reason why we chose to do that.
Well, are you worrying about moisture? Do you have to add some water sometimes? Or, you know, because... I guess you're not worrying about, I mean, you're not doing it when it's mud, but I mean, you know, it's if it's really damp, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, if it's damp. We started building the cistern, I think, just after the rains we got in the winter, and we were finding out sometimes we didn't even have to add any water.
What's the technique you're going to use for your home?
It's the same technique.
Are you going to cover it in stone?
We might actually be doing a straw bale in conjunction with the earth bag. So to add
and then an earth plaster over that.
Yeah.
You know, we had a friend has a farm. He did that straw bale house. It's a 2.5-story out in Missouri, in Bunker, Missouri. And he goes, I'll never do that again. You know, he goes, you spend so much concrete trying to cover that you might as well just build it out of concrete, you know? And so it was, man, it's insulative as hell. I mean, he goes, I give you that, you know, it definitely works, but it was enormous amount of concrete and labor. And if you're going to be doing it with troweling, man, get ready for some work. You know, what about the shotcreting or blowing, aircrete or, that kind of, did you ever think of, like getting a stucco blower and just kind of blowing it on there or something?
That might be something to have to look at.
Boom! If you're willing to do that, we have another group up in Ash Fork that I tried to make the deal, but they're off doing other stuff. They're traveling a lot and everything. And I said, look, man, I'll buy you. You know, I get it back and I can use it. I will buy it for you. You know, you're going to need a big compressor. For probably less than $2,500, you know, I get you the stuff and, peace out. You know, it's mine, but, I just let you, I don't even want to, look at it and for a year, and then I go get it, and hopefully it still works. Hell, it's worth that just for the information. I wouldn't just give it to you. You get done with it, goes to the next guy. But if you're willing to take that kind of help, I'm all over it, man. And once it starts, there's going to be a bunch of other people wanting to do that kind of stuff, too, because you're in opposition to the tyranny coming to try and stop you. That's your end. The fact that you took leadership on that is why we're interested in you.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well,
all you got to do is say yes. I'm not hearing yes. Say yes.
I guess.
All right. We'll make it easy on you. We're not going to commit you to anything other than you use it. That's all I want is you to use it because we need the information. All right. We're going into the next hour. I don't have a guest. You guys want to stay on or you good? We'll do another segment. Here we go. All right. Hold on.